Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
You know, I was reflecting back over Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I think I've given about, I don't know, three or four messages on Mother's Day, and then I just kind of stopped because my messages on Mother's Day would be more of observation, since I'm clearly a guy. But fathers, I can speak about fatherhood, and it's probably, I don't know, I think fatherhood is maybe one of the most noble responsibilities that a guy can ever embark on. Amen. I'll say this, that just so we kind of get terms lined out, it's easy to be a father, right? Being a father is not hard. Being a dad's a whole different deal. Amen. In other words, we know in our society today, there's a lot of people who father children, but that's really, there's nothing magical about that in the sense that it's, you know, special. But a great dad is something really special. Would you agree with that? So it's kind of easy to, you know, it's more than the biology. We'll just say it that way. Amen. And I'm privileged to have four wonderful daughters and then little Carson. Finally, we got some testosterone in the house. And ladies, I appreciate your praise and worship today. I did feel our drummer. Where's our drummer? Yeah, he went to first service. He was swimming in a sea of estrogen up there. And I can relate to that. I've swam in a sea of estrogen for these many years. So I'm just throwing it out there. Guys, next year, we're doing the praise and worship on Father's Day. Okay? Is that good? All right. So where's our photographer? Pastor Josh, come up here. Would you mind? No, bring your camera. Bring your camera. You're on it the whole time anyhow during service, so you might as well. Okay, put it on camera mode.
Okay,
put it on portrait.
Okay.
All right. Guys, we're going to do praise and worship next year. Not because the ladies did bad. It's just that for those of you visiting, on Mother's Day, guys do it. On Father's Day, the girls have done it. But next year on Father's Day, I'm throwing it out there, we're doing it, guys. So how many of you are with me? Raise your hand. Take the picture, quick. Quick. All right. Even if you can't sing, we can make a noise. Amen? We can do it. I really do. I seriously do appreciate the. I think it's just kind of cool. All girls up there, with the exception of the drummer. We need to make that clear. He's clearly a guy. He shaves. Well, I guess girls do too. No, he shaves his face. Well, I guess girls do too. Sorry. And we'll just move right along with that. Yeah. No, really. Guys, wouldn't you say, for those of us who are fathers, and those of you who aren't yet, you're going to be in for a treat. You really are, because fatherhood is wonderful. Being a great dad is a very awesome responsibility. It can pucker you at times, but you know, big picture, it is one of the most awesome things in the whole world. And I'll never forget when our first child, Chantel, when I first held her, I was privileged to deliver all of our girls. And when I first held her, I can remember the moment of looking at that little baby, and I just remember the thud. And it was a real positive thud. Can sound negative, but it was a real positive thud. That my title, now I had a new title. I was a husband, but then I had a new title, and now I'm a dad. And that title, I knew, would be a permanent title. That no matter how old or how many children she had, I was still her daddy. And I would be for the rest of her life. How many of you guys can raise your hand and say you kind of remember something similar? You know, and it wasn't, I know sometimes guys recall it as, holy, wow. Right? Sorry, you filled that in, didn't you? You filled in the other side of that. I didn't mean to introduce that, but it wasn't a scary thing. You know, there was a little bit of apprehension from the unknown. Can I really do this? But guys, I just want to encourage you. You can. Amen? We can become great fathers. It's something that we're going to have to work at the rest of our lives, right? Because things change, right? Our children grow, our children change. And then if you add other children, you know, we have a whole passel of them. And wow, isn't it amazing how you can have several children born into one family, same genetics, same house, same area, and they can be so stinking different. What's up with that? Right? Okay, it's really cool, but it sure kind of makes for getting on your knees at times, because cookie cutter discipline doesn't work. Right? I mean, what worked on one doesn't work on the other. And so it just kind of keeps us on our toes. But dads, I want to encourage you today. We can do it. Amen. And maybe you're at a spot in your life that your children are gone or whatever. And you know what? I just say it this way. It just gets better because you get a new title, grandfather. Right? That's got to be good. I don't know what that's like yet. And hopefully I'll get to understand that, Chantel and Chris. Just saying, we're sort of getting ready. But anyhow, so it gets better, right? Because it's grandfather. And then if you keep going, guess what? It even gets better. Great grandfather. That'd be kind of, well, let's just start with square one first. We got to get there. So anyhow, I just want to talk about a few things. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to throw any heavy revelations out. I'm not going to throw out stuff that you've probably never ever heard of before or anything like that. I just want to talk about one aspect, and it's the area that I'm cluing in on today. There's a lot of things that you could talk about. We could very easily go to the story of the prodigal son. It's probably one of the most tender stories there is in the Bible, about a father's love and how powerful the love of a father is. If you're not familiar with that story, I encourage you to go to the book of Luke and read that story about the prodigal son. It'll bring tears to your eyes, but it'll also bring a challenge. But I want to talk about this idea of the leadership within the home, because I believe, according to Scripture, as we see it in Scripture, that the onus of the leadership in the home comes from the guy. Are y'all with me on that? Okay. Ladies, that's not to say your role is not important. It's just that the function's different is all. Okay. And in us guys, and especially when children enter the scene, we're called upon by God to be the leaders in the home. And I always hate going there in the sense that a lot of guys just really tense up when they hear that. You know, the typical church in America has a heavy abundance of female leadership and low level of male leadership. And if you question that, then just do your own research and you'll find that that's the case. Okay. God intended that a man leads. And we're talking about fatherhood. So, guys, God's intended that us fathers lead. Okay? Are you with me there? The kicker is where that makes guys apprehensive is they get fearful inside and say, oh no, I can't. Because they tend to put, and I just want to kind of break down some sacred cows today. Okay? So, guys, you don't have to have a doctor's degree in theology to lead in your home. And all the guys said, thank God. Okay. Yeah. All the guys said, thank God. Right. You don't have to be fluent in Greek and Hebrew to lead in your home. And all the guys said, thank God. Yeah. Okay. You don't have to have the New Testament memorized. And all the guys said, thank God. Okay. And you don't have to pray in public. And all the guys said, thank God. And you don't have to preach a sermon and call it a devotional. Right? Listen, every one of those things I've mentioned, I've had guys tell me that they feel the pressure that they have to be that. Oh, I haven't had anybody tell me, well, I really feel like I need to be fluent in Hebrew and Greek. But what I have had a ton of guys tell me is like, Pastor, I would love to do a devotional at home, but I don't even know where to start. And my response to you is, that's okay. Because leadership within the home isn't this prescribed? Well, you got to have a 12-minute devotional because your family can't hold their attention any longer than that, especially if you have children. And then you don't have to, you know, you don't have to do a devotional like a church service. Are you with me? It doesn't have to last so long and, you know, da, 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 da. And, you know, every kid, you don't have to go around the table and have every kid pray a correct prayer. Because all of these things enter the ideas. It's just kind, what's kind of interesting to me is how there's a polarization about this idea of leadership. You've got Hollywood's version of fatherhood, which presents most guys as idiots, bumbling idiots. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a wrong view. It really is. It just aggravates the stink out of me to watch how fatherhood is portrayed in Hollywood. You got these guys that they're just stupid, they're dumber than a box of rocks, and all they think about is sex. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, I also get frustrated in the Christian world. Because they just jump right clear on the other side. And if you're not careful, you can feel guilty as a dad if you don't go through three books to take your children through, you know, and, you know, be the perfect husband, be the perfect dad, and do this, and do devotions every day with your kids, and your devotions have to last a certain amount of time, and then you gotta pray a certain way, and you've gotta do this, and you've gotta do this, and you've gotta do this, and most guys in the Christian world check out as well. Are you with me? Guys, don't raise your hand because you may feel like you'd be too vulnerable. So don't raise your hand. But I can guarantee you the bulk of the guys in this room today have just felt like I can't do the leadership in my home deal. So guess what? Here's a part about guys. Ladies, if you don't have this figured out, this may be some insight. A guy would rather not start something than start something and fail at it. So it's just easier to not start it because then we're not going to fail at it. Okay, so are we missing it because we're not doing something? Well, sure we are. We're not idiots. But we just, you know, if we're not careful. So I just kind of want to break some sacred cows down and maybe go at it from a little bit different perspective. So ladies, you're going to bear with me. This is Father's Day. We're going to talk about hunting and all sorts of stuff today. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever got on a guided hunt or a guided fishing trip. How many of you have, just for fun? And why didn't you ask me to go? I'm kidding. Sorry. Just saying. You could be all inclusive. No. When you go on a guided hunt, I've gone on a guided hunt before. I didn't pay anything for it, but a guy guided me. But when you go on a guided hunt, let me just tell you what that involves. Okay, among, you know, aside from lodging and stuff like that, a guided hunt or a guided fishing trip is just that. It's guided. In other words, you show up and the guide points you just in the general right direction. In other words, they don't shoot your gun, right? They don't take over your fish and your fishing pole and reel. They guide you in the direction to then allow you to use your own innate hunting or fishing skills to bag the quarry. Are you with me? Okay, so, you know, a guide, a hunting guide, I mean, that's kind of a cool job, first of all. Because, listen, ultimately, the pressure is off of the guide once the guide has got him in the general direction. Are you with me? Where ultimately does all the pressure lie? On the one being guided. Now let's put that in fatherhood for a moment. Dads, we don't have to be a Greek scholar, a Hebrew scholar. We don't have to have a doctor in theology or a doctor in divinity or a doctor's degree in Christian education or hermeneutics or whatever. We don't have to have that. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to have a preaching background. We don't have to have that. All we need to have is the ability to guide our children and our family. To guide them Isn't that right? Can you do that? I say you can, because it's not that hard. Oh, there's times that you got to get on your knees before God and say, Father, I need some help here. But how many of you know us smaller guides have a capital G guide that can help us all out, right? In other words, Dad, we have the best guide in the whole world. When I look at Scripture, there's something that I guess I was just thinking about this week with respect to fatherhood. We can guide from afar, or we can guide from close distance. Now you tell me which one is the most effective. Close distance, okay? And when we look at Scripture, we're just going to look at principles in Scripture. When we look at Scripture, we're going to find that's exactly how God is. Because you see, if I was to hire a guide to guide me on a moose hunt, I wouldn't want the guy to be sitting in front of his fire at his home with his telephone next to his ear and then ask me the question, well, where are you now? Well, I'm by a bunch of trees. Well, now, did you go down that one road I told you to go down? Well, man, I don't know which road you're talking about. Well, I told you that one road. How many of you know that relationship just wouldn't work after a while? Now, maybe he could get it done successfully. But how many of you know there would have to be a ton of independence in me to get that done? Right? I would rather have the guide maybe get in my rig and, you know, we talk and get together and maybe pull out a topographical map and say, now here's the country we're in and this area right here tends to hold, you know, da 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 da. Our third daughter and I had the privilege years ago of hunting over in the Tex Creek area. And in one afternoon, in a period of about 2 hours, in about a 5 mile range, we came across 23 moose. We'll probably go our lifetime and never ever see. And moose don't typically herd up. They're kind of by themselves. It was just it's something. And of course, we didn't have a camera. We went around that same tree 23 times. There's another one, babe. It's like, wow. That was good, Rhett. That was good. Now, so we just did the John Wayne pictures. You know how John Wayne took pictures? John Wayne said, you don't need a camera. You got this right here. But anyhow, so what was I talking about? So the guide that I want a guide that's with me that's going to take me to that Tex Creek area, let's say. Boy, this area has been known to hold a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of whatever. Now, how many of you know the guide can't guarantee your success? Dads, you can't guarantee the success of your children. Amen? But an engaged dad that's there, that's close, that is able to talk, that is able to give wisdom, we can put the odds in our favor for our family to be successful. I mean, we can, dads, you've been around the block more than once. In other words, let me just say this. Dads, there's nothing that your children, there might be a few things that your daughters experience that you haven't experienced because you're a dad. Right? But the principle of children, you've been there, done that. So you are just as know-it-all as they may be in whatever year they may feel like they know it all. You've probably been there. You've probably had the same temptations to be wilder in a March hare that they may have. Are you with me? You may have had the same temptations in the same areas that they have had temptation in. So, Dad, let me tell you what. You've got all the experience behind you to potentially be a great guide. Far better than maybe you thought you could be. So when we look at the book of Genesis, you can turn there if you want, but there's not a specific verse. But when you get to the book of Genesis, the first three or four chapters, when you read about the creation story, and it's interesting, when a lot of people think about the God of the Old Testament, they think he's kind of this cold, you know, hard, rule, lawgiver type of a deal. You know, I don't see that. I see a God in creation that came down in the cool of the day to talk with Adam. What do you think was going on in those conversations? I think guidance. And I'm going to strictly focus in on that word, guidance. I'm sure, you know, when Adam and God spoke together, wouldn't you love to have been a part of that conversation, by the way? Can you imagine when a giraffe walked by? Because Adam was responsible to do what? Name him. Can you imagine when some of the creation went by Adam? Can you imagine God standing right behind him? And he goes, seriously? Wow, you outdid yourself, God, on that one. Or whatever it may be. I'm sure their talking was not all business. I'm sure business was covered in terms of help. Adam didn't know everything. Only God knows everything. So I'm sure some of that conversation with God and Adam was talking about, what do I do here? Guys, let me tell you what. We've got God to turn to. And how many of you know He knows the answer to every one of our questions? Every one of our questions He knows the answers to. So I just want to encourage us, guys, let's talk with God. So let's get that going. And listen, that's not all that hard. I know the instant you talk about prayer with a lot of people saying, oh, great, I got to pray 2 hours a day. Well, maybe or maybe not. Kicker is are you engaged in talking with God daily? And if not, just ask yourself, what could I do to be a bit better at it? Okay? So I look at God. God didn't, you know, just talk to Adam from heaven.
Do a good job.
Right?
Why'd you name it that? That's a stupid name. Come on, take dominion. Get up.
No. God came down in the cool of the day and guided close up. Then we get over to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of Old Testament characters that we could look at. How many of you know God and Abraham? Close relationship, right? You look at David, close relationship. You look at Elijah, close relationship. Noah, Moses, just name them all. God was close in His guidance with them. The relationship was deep. Now, let me just say this. Children, you who are here that you may feel like your dad has not really been up to par, I want to just help you, and especially if you're approaching the critical adult type of years, I can just tell you, I've never met a dad yet that didn't want to be a great father. Okay? So listen, if you have a dad, and I just kind of feel impressed to go down that road for a little. If you have a dad that maybe doesn't communicate the best or whatever, I just want you to know, in his heart, he really wants to. And if you're older, you can maybe help him in that instead of make the problem worse. Amen? Don't just stand back and leave it all on him. Okay? Ultimately, yes. You know what? Us as dads, we've got to fulfill that responsibility, and we're the only ones that can. But you know, if you're older, you know, how many of you know that we can help that out a little bit? But anyhow, so you look then at Jesus, and Jesus said this. Think about how close. Now, I know you may kind of laugh at it and say, well, of course it is. But listen, just look at it in light of this. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only act the way my Father should act, or the way my Father acts. Jesus and God, the Father, had that close, close relationship. And here's what I love. Now we get, you know, we're not alive when Jesus was here upon this earth. And isn't it just wonderful that we have the Holy Spirit of God? Listen. That indwells us. All throughout Scripture, God has modeled that He wants close relationship, because that's the best relationship to guide us along the way. How many of you know God's not going to make you do anything? But what does God do in our lives? He guides us to the spot that then it becomes what? Our choice. It's just like that
fishing guide that takes you to that neck or that bend in the river that said, you know what? There's a hole right there that always holds fish. Now then it's up to us whether or not we want to fish in that hole. It's up to us what kind of bait we want to put on the end. You know, how many worms we want to drown. Right? Or how many flies we want to float. Or which type of fly. Do we want to use a dry fly or do we want to use a wet fly? You know, all sorts of stuff. Do we want to chuck and wind the way they do down south? I mean, it's up to us. The guide gets us in that spot that says, you know what? Now right here. Right in this area, I'm telling you. Or takes you to that spot in the lake that goes, you know what? There's a bunch of down at the bottom of that lake, down south, what's interesting is crappie is a great tasting fish. It's kind of a smaller fish, but the meat is just as white and, oh, it's a wonderful fish to eat. Well, down south, almost every lake has areas where people take their Christmas trees. Bury their Christmas trees, provides cover down below. And guess what crappie like? Cover. But you know from the top, you would never know it's there. And unless you, then too, if you don't have a fish finder, you know, you may not be able to see the stuff. But a guide will take you and go, now look, we're right above. Right here, we are right above the best cover down on the bottom of that thing. There is crappie galore down there. Now, you, as the fisherman, can look at that guide and say, well, you know what? I just don't want to do that. I'm going to throw on the other side of the boat. And guess what? You can throw on the other side of the boat and not catch a thing. So dads, I just want to encourage us. Can we guide? Can we guide our family? Can we guide the direction that our family goes? If you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, listen, if you stay on this path, it's taking you away from God. Right? Family, if we continue on this path, we're going to get out of God's protection. We're going to get out from under His covering. And you know what, family? That's not who we are. Amen? Now, we can guide that way. And dads, I just encourage you, it's a lot easier if I could say it this. Oh, I know it's a big responsibility. I really do. And I sense in my own family, just with Lynn, not Reverend Lynn, but just Lynn, it's a big responsibility to lead a family as big as mine. Right? And they're women. How wonderful is that? Is that a good recovery? That was a good recovery. How wonderful is that? Now, really, it's a big responsibility, but I just want to try to do today, guys, is take the mystique off and take, knock some sacred cows down that you don't have to be all of this Superman of faith and power. You don't have to wake up and pray 3 hours a day before you go to your work. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to move in the gifts of the Spirit every time. You don't have to float 6 inches above the ground. Can we guide? Can we just look at the principles of God in His Word and say, you know what? If we continue this path, it's not going to get us in a good spot. We got to be here. So come on, follow me, right? I loved that video that was on there. Father's Day was a great video. You know, the joking side was the dad that was watching his girl change the oil or something like that. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. But the one that touched my heart, it's about a 4-second deal on the little Hispanic family, the little girl watching daddy pray. So guys, in leading our family in the things of God, just ask yourself some questions. How am I at setting the example in some things? Now listen, when I say set the example, I'm not saying being perfect. Because it's impossible to be perfect. But, you know, there's some things. If a guy wanted to look at a list, and I know sometimes guys hate lists, but where does our church fit in our family? Amen? Now, I know a lot of people would look at me and my family and say, well, of course your girls come to church. They have to because they're the preacher's kid. But if you were to interview any of our 5 children, I can tell you that they love church.
Because that's just a parameter for us. Oh, it's not just dad's job. Because I don't look at it. We don't look at it that way. It's not a job. But I understand that, you know, people could look at a preacher and go, well, of course, you know, whatever.
I work for a living. How many times I've ever heard that, by the way?
Say it to me and I might slap you upside the head, then ask for forgiveness. You know, there was a time, I will say this, in our last 3 years while we were in Nova Scotia, I traveled. Drett and I served a church there, and the senior pastor left, and they wanted us to become the senior pastor. And, you know, it was a privilege to be considered, and, you know, they really wanted us to be, and it would have been, just in the natural, it would have been a very easy transition. But we just didn't have, not for any reason, but we just didn't feel that was the will of the Lord for us. And so we just said, we'll stay here. And it's common for a staff member, that when a senior pastor, you know, moves on, the entire staff resigns so that that pastor doesn't have to feel like he has to keep him on if they don't want to. So we resigned, and we just, you know, shared with the church when we didn't feel like we should be the senior pastors that we'll still stay, and we'll walk the church through the time of transition and, you know, whatever. And when the new senior pastor comes, of course we've resigned, and he does not have to retain us at all, and we're good with that. And so we traveled. New senior pastor come on, and they didn't retain us, and that was cool. It was all God, so there was nothing there. But we traveled the last 3 years, and I built homes, physically built homes myself. I'd bring in an apprentice to help me in getting down on my knees. I didn't like putting up baseboard and stuff like that, so I'd hire an apprentice to do that. And I would stay on the job for 3 weeks, get, you know, frame the house up, bring in the subcontractors, and I'd go on a trip. Come back for 3 weeks, then go on a trip. And you know what, guys? I just want you to know, I know what it is to work a 12-hour day, and on a thing like a Wednesday night, because, you know, if you look at any Wednesday night service in any typical church, there's far more women that come than men. I understand what it is to be so stinking dead dog tired that you don't want to come to church, especially when it gets to summertime. You're hot. And I'll never forget, and it was so good for me. I'll never forget when I was, you know, just functioning in a different capacity. I was still in ministry, but I just worked for my income. Just a carpentry job. I built pre-sold homes. And, you know, I know what it's like to be up at the crack of dawn, work all stinking day, and, oh no, Wednesday night church. And I just realized I had a sit down with myself. My family doesn't know this. I had a sit down with myself and said, you know what? You have children, and you're going to model to them the importance of church in your life. So you know what? I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, Shaul, I don't give a rip how tired you are. You get yourself a shower taken and get yourself to church. Now, I don't say that to make anybody feel guilty, sort of. It was just something in me that just said, you know what? I'm modeling to my children now the importance of whatever in my life. And so, you know, for 3 years, I endeavored to do the exact same thing that I did for those 3 years when I was a staff member. I came to church early because I just thought, you know what? This is who we are. This is the importance I want to model in our life. And truly, I don't say that to make anybody feel guilty if you don't come on Wednesday night. I'm just saying, I understand what it is. I fully do. And I can appreciate the effort that it takes. So guys, how can we do in just different things? So where does the church fit? Where does prayer fit in our life? Okay, when you say prayer, a lot of guys think, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, I heard Dr. Cho once say this. Dr. Cho actually said this, that if you do not pray for 2 hours in one setting, you might as well never pray because it ain't gonna work. This was Dr. Cho. Dr. Cho, in case those of you don't know, pastors more people than any other person in the world. The church that he pastors is well over 1 million people. His staff members are 32,000 people. staff members. So I can't look at the guy and go, well, what does he know? I can't say the guy doesn't know what he's talking about, but you know what? Seriously, for 6 months, that sent me in a tailspin. I thought, my gosh, I can't pray for 2 hours solid. Oh, I know real spiritual people say, well, you could if you were spiritual. Okay, I guess I'm not spiritual because I can't. Not day in and day out. There's times I've prayed longer than that, but to do that every day, I'm just like, holy, holy, holy smoke. So guys, let me just say this. Where is it in your life? Does those that we lead see it as important? Are you with me? I was so blessed. Thursday night, Carson and I had a long day. We were up at the way before sunup, 4:15 in the morning. We didn't get to bed till almost midnight that night, and we didn't stop the entire day. And our last deal that we did is we had to load and move a bunch of sheep in the headlights of our truck. So it was just late and dark. And Carson did something that just warmed my heart. I just thought, wow. So before we started to drive out of this little area, Carson took his hat off. You take your hats off, guys, by the way, when you pray. If you have a ball cap on, you take it off. Do you want to know the theory behind that? Because your hat is your crown. And when you go into the household of another authority, you never wear your crown. So when I pray, you go into the presence of God and you take your authority off. Amen. All right. I know some of you look at, well, I ain't going to do it. Well, okay. Whatever. Carson took his cap off, and I knew when he took his cap off, I just took my cap off. Because I knew he was leading. I took my cap off. He grabbed my hand and he said, Dad, let's pray. So we just prayed that God would just keep those animals in so we didn't have to shoot them in the morning. Okay, the prayer might have had an agenda behind it. No, he didn't say that. But I just thought, okay, somewhere between his mom's influence and hopefully my influence, something's getting inside of a little 11-year-old kid that's going, you know what? We go to God when we need help. Dads, we can do that. Amen? All of us can. Where are you in worship? I know a lot of guys, music is maybe not their deal. For a lot of guys, they think music is kind of sissy. You know, that's neither here nor there. But just remember this. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Says that you should show forth. Everybody say show forth. Do you know what show forth means in the original language? It means that it ought to be seen. That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Dads, I want to encourage you, let's lead our families in worship. Oh, that doesn't mean that you have to carry a tune in a paper bucket. If you can drag a tune, go for it. Okay? If you can't sing, go for it. Because worship isn't about melody. Worship is not about being able to stay on tune. Worship is about a heartfelt expression towards God. Amen. Last week we talked about in all of our ways, let's acknowledge him. Amen. And then example in discipleship. Are we disciplined followers of Jesus? That doesn't mean we have to have the degrees after our name. It just means that our passion needs to be known to be towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Dads, I believe we can do it. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.